So, when I was young, I went to that one house in the town where the residents went all out and probably spent thousands of dollars getting the place perfect for Halloween. Now, this place was insanely well done, and I mean really freaking good. Albeit, even as an adult, it competed with professional haunted houses. I believe the year was either 1999 or 2000 because I went as Darth Maul. I remember being literally scared out of my mind the previous few years, and I hoped my badass character would provide me with some sort of courage. They blocked off the scene with a black tarp and had everything you could ever want to see at such a house. A psycho shower scene with a zombie crawling out of a toilet, ghouls and imps climbing the tree, blood, gore, strobes, fog, everything. I remember feeling terrified, even with my double lightsaber. Even though I was scared to death to walk through it, I always admired the workmanship as I knew that the props they had were either really expensive or took some good effort to make. To this day, I've never seen a better yard than that. As always, every year, I saw the house owners sitting on their porch reveling in the terror they brought to the neighborhood and handing out candy. So, I nervously crossed the yard past flying banshees and impaled corpses. I noticed the main attraction at the end of the line. There, on what I guess was probably the driveway, was the bottomless pit attraction. The illusion bewildered and chilled me, and though it was only lit by the lone light bulb, it made the box glow like a low-burning furnace. I must have stared at it for a while when I suddenly heard a cough and a low hushed voice to my right. I don't really remember what was said, but I want to say it sounded something like, "Hey, check this out," or "Hey, I want to show you something," in a gruff and horsey kind of tone. I looked over and at first saw nothing but the wide gate to what was clearly the side of the owner's house. There was just a faint amount of light from the glowing pit to illuminate the outlines of the gated fence. After adjusting my eyes, I noticed a figure standing completely still. In fact, it was so still, I remember thinking it was just another static prop. My young mind just didn't register a lot of this, and was still looking for the voice I heard, not realizing it had come from the figure who I could still only barely make out. After a few moments, I heard the voice again. I realized it had come from the figure and began to approach it. This was obviously a stupid idea, but in comparison to everything else that was happening around me, this figure seemed anything but imposing. So I cautiously approached the figure, trying to make sense of it. Suddenly, the figure began to move, and consequently, I froze solid. The light from the amber glow lit up its face just enough for me to make out its features. This I do remember clearly. It was a scraggly and rough-looking man with a coarse grey beard and yellowed teeth. His weathered and tattered clothing looked like it hadn't been cleaned in ages. He was smiling at me, though I had no idea why, but it unsettled me greatly under the hellish glow of the light bulb behind me. It all felt wrong. It was as if at that moment I had acquired some clarity and realized his presence here obviously was not part of the show. And considering I already also saw the owners, he clearly did not belong on the property. I screamed and ran out of there as fast as I could to the exit, not looking behind for a second. I probably got a few looks from the other kids around us, but as soon as I found my parents waiting outside, I told them about the man I saw. I saw one of the owners approach and ask if everything was alright. I said something like, "I didn't like the old man by the gate." He looked at me for a second and went, "What man?" I never went back there ever again.
Number 2.
Several years ago, right before I was about to leave for trick-or-treating on Halloween, I got into a fight with my mum. I had told her I was going to pick up a friend and go out with that friend, but my mum insisted I had an adult with me. I raged, thinking it would be too embarrassing to have to follow around an adult like a child. I was old enough to look after myself, or at least I thought so. After the episode with my mum, I ran to my room, enraged that she would do that to me. However, instead of obeying her, I devised a plan to get what I wanted. My younger brother and sister were going to go trick-or-treating with my mum and my mum's friend and her son. I decided that I would tell my mum I was sorry for lashing out and that I was going to stay home and pass out candy. Then, after she left with my siblings, I was going to go out like I had planned. I had planned it perfectly too. I knew what time they were going to come back home. I knew what route they were going to take, and I congratulated myself for my cunning plan. After my family left, I got together my costume. I was going as a gangster, which was probably the worst thing I could have done, but I was blinded by my excitement to realize my mistake. My mind went wild with all the things I could do now that my parents were gone. I could really live. I got so deep into this idea of being on my own that I decided I was going to trick or treat on my own and called my friend to tell her I was cancelling. Another huge mistake. I left the house with quite a bit of confidence in myself. The first street I went down went great. I got loads of candy and was having a great time. Once again, my excitement and confidence blinded me from the strange looks I got from being alone. I turned left down another street, my pride building with every step. I was almost at the end of the street, thinking of ways to explain all the candy I'd got to my parents, when I realized I was being followed. By the time I had come to this realization, I was at the section of the street where it was kind of out in the open, no trees between the sidewalk and the road, and I didn't see any other kids near me. There was a car, and quite a trashy one at that, following a few feet behind me. All my confidence had vanished, and my hair stood on end. I glanced behind myself, at the car, and all the windows were down, and three men were in the car, all smoking cigarettes. They were glaring right at me. As soon as I caught their stare, all the warnings my mother had given me about creeps like this hit me in the head. I looked down at my gangster costume and knew I blew it. I looked like a thug. I quickly turned back around and started walking, my heart beating out of my chest. My whole body went numb, and I instantly forgot how to do everything except walk forward. I was at the last house on the street with the car still following close behind, when I made the split decision to turn up the driveway of the last house. Now, the house I turned to was completely abandoned, and had been for years. The windows were boarded up, and the front yard had been scattered in junk. Everyone in the neighborhood knew that the house was abandoned too. The car stopped right in front of the house, and everyone inside the car was just staring directly at me. I walked up to the front porch and turned around, thanking God for the tall bushes blocking the porch from the street and blocking the creeper's view. I stood there for at least a minute, staring right back at them, knowing I wasn't going to make it. My heart thumped out of my chest, and I could hear it ringing in my ears. One of them got out of the car. He stood and looked directly at me through the bushes and into my soul. I stood holding the rusty doorknob, staring right back at him. We must have stood like that for a long 10 seconds before the man got back into the car and they peeled down the street. Once they were gone, I ran as fast as I could across the street and up the opposite direction, frantically looking for someone I knew. I spotted my brother's friend and his mother and walked right behind them until they reached my street. I got a few weird looks from my mum, but I really didn't care. I ran up to my house and cried myself to sleep. I still live in the same neighborhood, and every time I pass the abandoned house, I silently thank it for saving my life. I don't know why the creeps didn't come after me, as they likely knew that the house was also abandoned.
This upcoming Halloween will be my 40th birthday, and even after nearly 25 years, the terrifying memory of that night has never faded. You see, I lost my virginity in a pumpkin patch on Halloween. I know, cliche. Specifically, I lost it in the bed of a pickup truck while it was parked in the pumpkin patch. To give you an idea, the patch was maybe 80 by 100 feet, and fenced off by wire mesh to prevent cows from getting in. The truck was parked just inside the only gate. Myself and my date had settled there right before the sun went down. My house was just across the street from the pumpkin patch. We shared a bottle of wine, awkwardly talked for a while, and then got to business. My family had two border collies, and as we were changing positions, the dogs wandered in and started barking at us. My date and I paused and drunkenly, playfully, began throwing scraps of food out into the pumpkins for them to chase. After a couple of minutes of that, we continued where we left off. After we were done, we sat there in the truck and looked up at the stars, while the dogs wandered around sniffing random things. After a short while, I saw my father return home, pulling into the driveway across the street. The dogs bounded out of the patch towards him, and me and my date quickly began to dress ourselves. Once we were fully clothed, we just sat on the tailgate and kept talking as we watched my dad pet the dogs and go into the house. It was about then that we heard it. A rustling sound coming from the patch somewhere behind us. We both paused and turned. At this point, there was only moonlight to illuminate our surroundings, but it was enough. And this is exactly what we saw. A single pumpkin began to rise up out of the patch, but not like someone was lifting it. It was kind of sideways, like it had been resting on its side and was now sitting up. For a split second, I thought someone was rising this pumpkin out of the patch on a stick or a metal bar. But then the stick changed position. It coiled like a snake and then shot straight up, like a man would be if he went from a squatting position to a standing position. I then saw two spindly legs with knee joints protruding from the thing, but no arms. There was a buzzing in my ear, and all of a sudden my date screamed. We both jumped off the truck and booked it out of the patch and sprinted towards my house. I glanced back once, and I'll swear on whatever you want me to swear on. A tall, skeletal figure was leaning over the truck where we had both been sitting, and I caught a glimpse of two beady red eyes staring back at me. We made it to my garage and forced our way through the kitchen door. I began screaming at my dad to get his gun. It wasn't until I saw the blood on the kitchen floor that I realized that my nose had been bleeding. Even more alarming, my date's nose was gushing blood as well. I told my dad that there was someone in the pumpkin patch, and he grabbed his gun and power walked out of the house, the dogs following closely behind him. But they stopped halfway there, refusing to come any closer to the pumpkin patch. When my dad returned, he was livid. He wanted to know what had damaged the fence and broke the tailgate off my truck, which technically was his truck. I could only shiver in confusion and abject terror. He reported that something had knocked the tailgate right off the truck, and then tore out of the patch from inside and destroyed a huge section of fence. I didn't sleep at all that night. I cowered in terror in the living room, with all the lights on. The next day, the police came and examined the scene. The wire fence had been torn out of the ground and dragged a short distance away. There was no clear indication of what specifically had done it. My father and the police were convinced that it was a trespasser pulling a Halloween prank. But I never believed that for a moment. I tried to explain that the dogs had been pounding through the patch minutes before the thing had appeared, and neither of them had made a sound to alert us that there was a trespasser nearby. Furthermore, the entry gate to the patch made plenty of noise whenever the wind rattled it. So if someone climbed over it, it would make even more noise, and we had been sitting right by the gate. Another thing that terrified me is the shape of the thing as it stood. Even if it was a trespasser with an elaborate costume, none of that would even begin to explain the tailgate, the destroyed fence, the nosebleeds, and our dogs being too nervous to approach the patch, or the eyes I had caught a glimpse of. My father went to his grave believing that we had been vandalized by trespassers. My date and I concluded later that whatever it was, it hadn't been human or an animal. I don't tell this story often because I mostly get the same Charlie Brown joke. It was the Great Pumpkin. So no one really takes me seriously. But I've heard that skinwalkers can take the form of anything that best suits their surroundings. Our property wasn't anywhere near a Native American reservation, but I can't think of anything else it could have been. So what do you think it was? It's been 10 years since I've spoken about this incident. On Halloween of 2009, me and my younger sister, along with a couple of friends, went out to trick-or-treat. I was only 8 years old at the time. My younger sister was 5. My best friend's older brother was 17, and it was his responsibility to look after us that night. This took place in London, and at the time, we hardly had any crimes in our area. The night went off without a hitch, and we were all planning on calling it an evening since we had collected enough candy. My best friend's older brother was just about to call my dad, but before he could dial the number, he received a call from my dad. He let him know where to come to pick us up, and after a few minutes, my dad came and collected me and my sister. We said goodbye to our friends and thanked them for the fun evening. As my dad was driving my sister and I back home, he seemed on edge. Now, since I was only 8, I kept babbling on about how much candy we had collected and how I couldn't wait to get home to eat them. My dad wasn't listening. He just looked really anxious about something. As soon as we got back home, I entered my house to find my mother, my aunt, and my cousin sitting in the living room. I greeted them, and my mother hugged both me and my sister. My dad sat us down and told us that we could never go out trick-or-treating ever again. Now, because I was 8, I began throwing a tantrum, complaining how I loved Halloween, and my parents were being unfair. My little sister was too young to even care. She was too busy going through the candy that we had collected. So after 2009, me and my sister never went out for Halloween. We didn't bother throwing a tantrum since we knew it would be pointless. However, in 2012, my brother was born. And last year, in 2018, he turned 6. My father finally relented and agreed to take my little brother and my sister out trick-or-treating. By this time, Halloween had lost its appeal for me, and I didn't want to go out anyway. My little brother gets his way since he's the youngest, and he loves Halloween. I decided to ask my mom why she didn't allow me and my sister to go out on Halloween after 2009. She sighed and explained to me that a boy from our neighborhood had gone out trick-or-treating in the same area. He was with his friends, but had somehow separated from the group. He ended up knocking on the door of an old house that was located at the end of a quiet street. I'll spare you the gory details, but the boy's body was found in that house after several people heard screaming and called the police. The boy's arm had been removed from his body, and he died from blood loss. The police had been going door to door warning parents about what happened, and that's when my dad came and collected us. My mother told me that they arrested an old, mentally deranged man in connection with the crime. But Halloween would never be the same again for my neighborhood. I had heard rumors about a boy who was killed on Halloween at my school, but I never took it seriously. I thought it was just a local urban legend. But now I understood why my dad looked so worried that night. The house where the boy was found, which is only a few blocks away from mine, now sits abandoned, with its windows boarded up. People around here jokingly refer to it as the Myers House. Halloween is pretty much ruined for me. I'll be staying home again this year. However, my brother, who's now 7, can't wait for Halloween. I just hope my dad keeps a close eye on him.
I was around that time in my life where most kids my age would stop trick-or-treating, either because they thought it was lame or because their parents told them to stop. My father and I had a similar conversation, and in the end, we decided that this trick-or-treat would be the final one. So when October 31st came, my dad helped me paint my face to look like a zombie. I figured that this costume should be simple, yet something I liked, so zombie it was. I grabbed an empty pillowcase and headed out, with my parents telling me to be back by 11-ish. Before you ask, yes, I was going trick-or-treating by myself. I was able to convince my parents that I needed to get as much candy as I could, seeing as how I wouldn't be able to do this again next year. So off I went, running from house to house, shoving candy into my pillowcase as fast as I could. So by the time it got dark, my pillow was about 3/4 filled, and I had no intent on slowing down. As I'm about to walk into a new neighborhood, a black van pulls up to the curb and was about a few feet away from me. The door opens, and out of the darkness comes some guy in a hockey mask and tattered jacket, wielding a machete. He turns his head towards me, probably just trying to creep me out. "Nice Jason costume," I say, trying to be friendly as I begin to walk past him. "Thanks, zombie. You want some candy?" "I've got bags of them," he says as he pulls out his little white sacks of candy. So, I being the idiot 14-year-old I was, open my pillowcase and let him plop two or three sacks into it. "Make sure you eat them real soon. You'll love them," he snickered, which really sent a chill down my spine. He left as quickly as he came, but I just shrugged it off as I needed to finish trick-or-treating. I continued down the road, again going from house to house for candy. After about the third or fourth house, I noticed something odd. It was the same black van from before. After every house I went to, the van would get closer and closer. At around what I could only guess was 10:30, I headed home with my sack full of candy. As I walked, the area behind me illuminated. I turned around, expecting to see a car that would soon pass me. It was the van, and in the driver's seat was the same guy who had the Jason mask on, the same guy that gave me the candy. My heart stopped, and I broke into a mad dash back to my house, the van easily keeping up with me. I was luckily able to lose him by running into the woods near my house. I exited the woods that lead to the side of my house, and I looked for the fake rock that held the spare key to our house. After I got in, I put my candy on the kitchen table and somehow found a way to go to sleep. The next morning, when I woke up, my parents were sitting at the kitchen table, digging around through the bags of candy that Jason gave me. They started asking me who and where I got the bags from, which started to freak me out. I would later learn that the bags of candy were nothing more than just a bag of prescription drugs. There was a ton of sleeping pills in them, and I finally understood his intentions. He was going to follow me until I fell asleep, and then who knows what with me after he got me in the van. Now that I think about it, I'm not sure whether or not that machete he had was fake or not. The police came up empty-handed, so I guess I'll never know his fate.